Hello and welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Toby Webb. And joining me once again, about a year on from the last one, is David Cleary, who is Head of Agriculture for the Nature Conservative. So welcome back to the podcast, David.
Pleasure.
Now, we're both here at the end of our Future of Food conference in Chicago, where you took part in a panel about landscapes and deforestation. And we had a really interesting chat about Latin America. So we thought we'd do a quick podcast on the deforestation and land conversion hotspots in Latin America as you see them. You've lived down there, kind of live and breathe Latin America and the Cerrado and so on. Apart from the Cerrado, where are the other places where some of these problems are occurring? And let's also talk about Cerrado solutions as well.
Sure. We've just had some statistics in the last couple of months. There's been an uptick of deforestation in the Brazilian Amazon, also an uptick in deforestation in the Hispanic Amazon. The Brazilian Amazon, that's as usual linked more to beef than anything else. Hispanic Amazon, there's some deforestation linked to expansion of palm oil. Beyond the Amazon, we've actually got something of a deep freeze on conversion in the Brazilian Cerrado, very little of it in the last couple of years. That's mainly because of market conditions, fairly low prices for soy, and more recently a collapse in the Chinese demand because of African swine flu out there. We are, however, seeing some expansion of conversion in the Bolivian lowlands, eastern Bolivia. That is actually linked to soy. That's a fairly active agricultural frontier right now. And you're continuing to see a certain amount of land conversion in the Paraguayan Chaco that's linked to beef, not soy.
And this link between swine flu and soy demand, just what is that?
Soy is one of the main ingredients for animal feed, including pig feed. So if you have something like a 30 to 40% collapse in size of your pig herd, which is what's happening in China, I mean, think Black Death.
They've lost 30 or 40% of their
pork. They're on the way to do that. You know, think Black Death for pigs. That's basically...
So the Chinese is one of the few countries that has a strategic pork reserve.
Yes, so they're going to need it.
They're going to need it. Okay, wow. So in the Cerrado, it's only about price then that stopped deforestation. What about the Cerrado Manifesto and all the hand-wringing and campaigns? That must have made some difference, surely?
I think it has made some difference. I mean, it certainly made a difference in the visibility of the Cerrado, but as always, those sorts of things take time to feed through to driving change on the ground. I mean, we don't have an agreement in place in the Cerrado yet. I mean, I hope there will be one. There's a lot of discussions about it. We may well have one before the end of this year, but it's too early yet for those kind of supply chain discussions and supply chain agreements to feed into changing things actually on the ground.
And how about places like the Chaco? The Chaco's kind of been added on to the Cerrado in a list of people's concerns.
Yep.
You don't hear as much about it, but it's sort of on the menu now, so to speak, as a concern. Yep. But what's happening there, and are there any significant efforts to prevent deforestation and land conversion down there?
Right now, there's not much concretely happening. I think there's a lot of preparatory work being done, a lot of analysis being done. The Nature Conservancy and some other NGOs, Fundación Vida Silvestre in Argentina, WWF in Paraguay, they've been doing a lot of work on helping to set up monitoring systems and thinking about what the future might hold. We're not seeing any dramatic acceleration in deforestation and land conversion in those geographies yet. I think the worry is not so much right now, but you know, soy in particular, if the Chinese situation gets sorted out and demand for soy rises, you're pretty much tapped out in the rest of Argentina and Paraguay for soy production. The fear is that the future vectors of soy production will be in the Chaco. And there's a certain linkage, I think, to an extent between the Cerrado and the Chaco. So if the Cerrado gets sorted out, then the Chaco may be like next in the pipeline as, oh, well, it's a bit of a problem to be doing stuff in the Cerrado, so let's focus more on the Chaco.
So can I ask you about beef?
Yeah.
At these conferences, often people legitimately say, where's the beef?
Yeah.
In the sense that we don't have the representation here. We talk a lot about palm, and palm has now fallen down the list. Yet we find it very hard to have sessions on beef and to engage beef companies. Why do you think that is? Is that because so many of them are having the highest impact are Brazilian and therefore just able to sort of hide away in Brazil?
Well, I think maybe that's some of it. I don't think they're hiding away. I mean, JBS, Marfrig, they have very active policies around deforestation. They don't get much play outside Brazil, but they're there. And also, I think some of the beef companies play an important role in trying to do positive things. I mean, I give McDonald's a shout out for a start. The difficulty is that the beef market is so much more fragmented. You have so many more market actors. It's pretty different from soy and palm oil, where you have like half a dozen big companies that dominate the whole trading side. The other thing that I think is a bit of a problem for you from the beef standpoint is that many of the ranchers who drive a lot of the deforestation, they're very small outfits and operations. They're not organized in producer associations. They don't have spokespeople. So from your standpoint, as somebody who's, you know, organizing conferences that would like to sort of drill into this, you have the problem of trying to identify who speaks for the sector in a way that you just don't have for the soy and the palm oil sectors.
Yes, I mean, you have the Global Roundtable on Sustainable Beef, but that seems to have quite a limited number of actors
in it.
Interesting. So coming back to soy for now, we are currently putting together our November 20th, 21st Sustainable Landscapes and Commodities Conference. And you had indicated to me that there might be something interesting happening by then. What are your hopes for action happening by November this year? What could that look like?
My hopes are that we have now for more than a year had a process underway that's within the framework of the Brazilian Soy Working Group. It's pulled in the group of mainly European companies that signed the statement of support for the Cerrado. And they have set themselves a sort of internal deadline of later this year to come up with an agreement. And I think if there is an agreement, that would be a really massive step forwards. And I think by November, it should be clear whether that agreement is going to happen or not. I should say that even if it doesn't happen, the issue is not going to go away. So either we will have an agreement by November through the Cerrado Working Group, or we'll have some pretty interesting conversations about what other types of steps might be necessary to get to an agreement, because we have to get to an agreement in some shape or form.
A final question about Brazilian politics. There's been an awful lot said and written about Bolsonaro, the tropical Trump, and his policies, but it's harder than you might imagine to undermine the work that's been done so far, as I understand it. So is the politics of Brazil currently less of a risk than people might think?
Well, you know, I think there's obviously a ready audience for horror stories about what Bolsonaro has said or is going to do. He's very similar to Trump in that he doesn't really have the internal censor that previous generations of politicians have. He's very adept on YouTube and Twitter. He says horrendous things. Brazil has strong institutions, and in particular has a very strong court system. Anything that he tries to do along the lines that he's been talking about is going to end up in court, and there's no shortage of competent organizations in Brazil that will be on top of that kind of thing. Much more worrying is actually the stuff that he can do fairly easily as head of the government. So he could, for example, cut the budget of enforcement agencies within the Environment Ministry.
Obama, for example.
That's the kind of thing that I think we can expect. But the reality also is that, especially with the way that remote sensing technologies are going and the quality and strength of Brazilian NGOs, is that a lot of that slack can be taken up by Brazilian civil society. And also, there are legal obligations on the government implementing its own laws. So I expect that you'll see a lot of the lawyers in Brazil are going to be very busy over the next few years.
In general, are you more optimistic on deforestation, land use change, preventing it across Latin America than you were? I mean, TFA, the Tropical Forest Alliance, was recently in Colombia.
Yeah.
I saw some announcements afterwards. I know some people that were there.
Yeah.
They were pretty upbeat. The Colombian government has come out with some announcements since then. That sounds positive.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your overall picture?
Latin America is a big place, and there's lots of different countries there, and they move at different speeds. I mean, I think in general, there's been some very positive recent developments in Peru and in Ecuador and in Colombia. I think obviously you've got reason for concern in Brazil, but you've also got a few market issues that are working in your favor on the deforestation front, and in particular, the depressed Chinese demand for soy. I wouldn't be in this business if I wasn't to an extent a professional optimist. There are certainly headwinds. You know, we're never complacent, but there's stuff that's working in our favour as well, and we have to just sort of leverage off those.
Great. David, thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Pleasure, as always.
And listeners, if you want to know more about this, come and meet David and other experts at our Sustainable Landscapes and Commodities Forum in London on the 20th and 21st of November. Hope you can see us there. If you want to know more about deforestation issues in Latin America or elsewhere, have a look on our website. There's plenty of material there. And thank you for listening.